This is Forrest Solis interviewing Aquila Maddox for Creative Push on May 17th, 2016 at 12:15. That's the first time I've ever done that perfectly, I think, in the last year. Okay. So let's, so you're telling us about One Birth today.
Yes.
Can you bring us all the way back to the conception?
So, conceiving my wonderful princess Jasmine was fun. It was actually fun. Her dad and I met. He was actually trying to sell me a car. And so I didn't buy a car, but obviously I bought a relationship from him. So we ended up, you know, dating and stuff and hanging out. And she was our surprise nonetheless.
So, how long into it? Was it a good surprise?
It was... The conception of Jasmine was a very... I don't know, it was an interesting surprise. To be honest, I wasn't planning to have any more kids. I wasn't planning to, because I had a son, but I wasn't planning to have another child. I was not planning to have a kid, especially at that moment or in that time of my life. I wanted to just allow my son to continue to be the only child and continue to grow just with him. And I really thought to myself that if he was the only child, I would be okay with that. So when I found out, I was literally like, you know, I really thought it was gas. Like my stomach was, you know, doing some things. I just knew pregnancy was the furthest thing from my mind. This definitely cannot be a baby. Like, you know, and in fact, it didn't even come that. I was like, you know what? I already know what's going on. I need to go to the bathroom. This is gas. I just need one of those amazing laxatives that you guys prescribe that you cannot buy over the counter. And I'll be fine. I'll just be on my way. And then lo and behold, they were like, nope, not gas at all. It's actually a baby. You're pregnant. Yay. And I was like, it's not gas. Like, I just was very stuck on it being gas. No, are you sure this isn't gas? And they were like, okay, so obviously you weren't expecting it. No, definitely not. And I don't care how many times you tell people that you know what the birds and the bees consist of. I didn't want a bird or a bee or the baby to come at that time. So that was my experience.
So you were actually at a doctor's appointment and they just tested your urine just as like a...
Yeah. Because I really thought I had gas. And honestly, it was like severe constipation. So I was like, the way that my insides are set up, they're not always cooperative in that area. So I just knew it was just like a time before. Yeah, but no, at a doctor's appointment to just remedy this. You're pregnant. And she or he will be due... they were able to tell right away too. I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks. So not only did I find out I was pregnant, but I had a bazillion months left to go. Cause I would have loved to found out I was like 4 months or something. Like one of those stories, you know, at least be halfway over it because I already wasn't really ready for the beginning. So that was my experience.
How was the partner? How was the man?
He was ecstatic, you know. He was all excited and, yay, a baby. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you don't have them, you know. You don't get to have any kids. Your stomach doesn't get stretched out. You don't have to worry about being nauseated at the sight of food, let alone consuming food. Yeah, you're good. Of course you're excited about this, you know. And truth be told, because of where we were in our relationship, I didn't know if we were going to be together. So I was like, you know, that's probably not your thought or concern, but it is mine. And because of my prior experience where I had recently gotten divorced, I didn't want to, you know, bring a child into a broken relationship or, you know, her family, you know, not being all under one roof. And I knew where I was at that time where I could have definitely gone for the baby and not the man. So I was like, you know, and it was probably an opportunity to just really protect us both. But I definitely, I mean, he was ecstatic. He was like, of course, he was planning. He had already come up with a name if it was a girl and a boy. And meanwhile, I'm still like, you sure it's not gas?
That's a really good like stopping point. That's the whole story right there. Like, how many more times can you say gas, though? That's really
nice. Because I just really...
So, okay, so, and there was never a different thought than, like, we're going to finish, we're going to have this baby and try to make it work. Like,
oh, so, oh, you know what? So, really, actually, you know, I must say, now that I think about it, when you brought that up, that was just a great question. So was there a question of, you know, are we just going to continue to work through this relationship? Well, before that, I may have to back up because I actually, after finding I was pregnant and sharing with him and he was ecstatic, I actually went to, and this is an amazing part of my story because, oh man, because I think it's, you know, I'm, to even admit this is a big deal to me, but I actually went, I looked for a clinic for an abortion. And in my heart of hearts, I knew I would never be able to go through with it. But in my emotions and my mind at that moment, I was like, I don't want to bring her into a broken family. I don't really, you know, he and I get along for the sake of hanging out and dating. But I didn't put it in my plan to pursue a long-term relationship with him. So I went to this clinic and, you know, this man, and I pray and I believe in prayer. So I'm all like, Lord, just so you know, I would rather like her, you know, go with you than me like go abort or anything. But I'm not happy about this. Like I just felt so overwhelmed with concern, like so much concern. So anyway, I get into this, what I thought was an abortion clinic, and these people had the audacity to be Christians. What do you, what? And they're like, yeah, we're not an abortion clinic. I'm like, I could have sworn when I Googled you that you were an abortion clinic. And they're like, no, we actually intercede on behalf of people aborting. And I just cried because I knew that God knew me well enough to know that I was a punk. I would have never gone through that. And that ain't even what I wanted to do. But I am grateful that that's where I landed. But it was just so amazing. I'm like, you've got me. I looked up on Google. Google deceived me. And I looked up, you know, abortion clinic. And I'm in this office where this lady is all like, she's crying harder than I am. And she's like, you want me to pray with you? And I'm like, don't be praying now. Like, you know, don't be praying. Prayer is the last thing I want right now. I wanted to talk to somebody about an abortion to, at minimum, give me the space to process what was going on in my mind and in my emotions about being overwhelmed with concern and, you know, being upset like, dude, I don't want this baby to be in a broken relationship. So anyway, it was awesome because we ended up, you know, talking through it. She allowed me to still talk to her about it and work through all of my ever confusing emotions. And she was like, you know, no matter what you decide to do, because I can't control anything, it'll be perfect. And I really believe, you know, I was like, well, no, I'm having the baby, of course, you know. And I said, and I told her, I said, and I was always going to have the baby. But I believe that experience, especially because I am a Christian, most people won't admit to that even being a thought. And I believe in my honesty to the point that if it could be healing to somebody else. So I actually shared, you know, I told her that I would tell. And of course, everybody was like, don't tell your daughter that because it'll make her feel some kind of way when she gets older and whatever. But I wanted her to know that what it looked like to be a real person who experiences real, you know, these real emotions, real thoughts, real concerns. And as a result, they featured her in a pamphlet. And I got to put, you know, she says, what would you be able to say, you know, to describe, you know, your experience through, you know, overcoming this? And I said, you know, even though I was concerned about all of her life and what her life would look like, I must say that I chose made a decision that we both could live with. And so she was able to live and I was able to live, you know, with my heart not filled with guilt or grief or anything like that. So we both were able to, as a result of that decision, be able to have an opportunity to maximize life, you know.
That was really lovely. How old is she now?
She's 7. My daughter is 7 years old. She is like the most vibrant kid in America or in my house, whichever you want. She's awesome.
I couldn't imagine you having a child that's not vibrant. That's like exactly the word I would choose to yes. define it.
She's vibrant.
Awesome. Okay, so did you guys stay together through the pregnancy part?
Yes, we definitely stayed together through the pregnancy. We did have our own homes and our own addresses. So it was quite an interesting story, though. I must say I did go through, I would say I kind of experienced some trauma in the sense that when I had my first son and we were married, he was there at every appointment and all of those things and through whatever my body was going through. But my Jasmine was at, I went through a lot with her. I started contracting, I had Braxton Hicks from the time I was 4 months until every day until I delivered. So my body was, I was in pain. My hips hurt a lot. I couldn't wash dishes, talk loud, sweep the floor. Like everything would hurt and cause my body to hurt. So, and I mean, it was crazy because my first pregnancy, I'm like, ah, da, 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 da. And then, you know, not the same experience at all. And so with him, he worked a lot as well. And then he decided to, I guess, multitask relationships. So he had some other things going on that I unfortunately or fortunately found out about that definitely added a weight to my process of being pregnant. He didn't make it to many of those appointments, but we were together, you know, like Mina, we were able to still share in the experience of pregnancy, but not necessarily the relationship. And, you know, so that was hard. That was very hard to me because it wasn't something I was familiar with. You know, I was like, dude, even if you don't like me, show up to the appointment. You know, that's my thought. That was my thought about it, you know, that we brought this baby into this world together. Let's share in that experience. We may not get along anymore for whatever reason or another, but, you know, we can definitely still do life with this baby. You know, we can still walk this thing out side by side.
So did you feel really alone or did you have a support network besides him, you know, outside of him?
I'm grateful for not being alone because I definitely had an amazing, what we call the village. And my village consists of a bunch of other, what we call transplants into Arizona that are from all over the world that we've connected here in this place. And we've made each other family. And I think that, you know, family is, you know, it's definitely, it's a connection beyond blood. And so they were with me. They were, you know, if they needed to show up to an appointment, they would. And, you know, and I could, you know, call them and whine about my hips hurting or, you know, talk about, you know, the fact that I was craving sweets like crazy. And, you know, don't you want to join me in ice cream? And they would love to, you know, join me in that or, you know, eating IHOP for dinner, breakfast and lunch in that order. And, you know, like, because I've, you know, that the way your life is set up, breakfast is no longer breakfast, dinner is not, everything has its own schedule and time. And, but anyway, I definitely am so grateful for each and every person that was able to be there with me and, you know, and shop with me and, you know, just let me cry if I was having an emotional day or whatever the case may be. You know, there were definitely other people, sisters, brothers, you know, and then plus my biological family as well, even though they lived all, most of them lived out of state. One of my sisters lived here at that time. You know, it was still great to just be able to have the conversation because a lot of them thought like, we just thought you were never going to have another child because she came 7 years after my son.
Okay, so let's talk about the process of being pregnant and those 60 pounds and all that stuff. Besides the hip pain.
Yeah.
That might be part of it too.
Yeah. So with my first son, I gained 60 pounds and then I, you know, lost all but maybe, let's say, I think 5 pounds. So with my daughter, I gained 44 pounds, so essentially like 50 pounds. And, you know, and to be a small framed person carrying that kind of weight, you know, probably played a part in the pain. But and the discomfort, you know, but I mean, like I said, for her, my son, obviously I gained more, but it was extreme discomfort. But anyway, I did, even though I gained weight, I must say I carried it a little better than I did the first time around. I looked like a, you know, something like a platypus or something or some type of a, you know, something with my rhinoceros with my son or something. I was just really wide and really big. And but I was the happiest thing in America. And then my daughter, though, I felt attractive. You know, I felt really attractive. I was like, and I think God is amazing that he would allow me to still at least look good. I guess he's like, well, if she ain't feeling too great, her story ain't as ideally, you know, like the first story where I was happily married and all that, I'll make her look good. So he like, he gave me that as a benefit or a bonus. So I felt really attractive. I took care of myself in a different way with a different type of pride, even though, you know, like I said, there was a lot of discomfort And I just felt like, you know, like I was wobbling everywhere. You know, I was so clumsy. I would trip and I wouldn't fall, you know, thankfully, but I would run into stuff. I was tripping, literally tripping. And then, you know, it was interesting. That little baby of mine had me, and I didn't get Jesus. She was like the most awake kid ever. Like, I don't think she slept. And then, you know, if it's true that your kid is who they are in the womb when they get out, this chick is consistent. You know, she still don't sleep. So she did not sleep. She would stay up at the wee hours of the night. I'd go into work, like, looking like I had, you ain't getting no shut eye, huh? Nope. She was up again. And you would think she's like outside of the womb, crying, screaming or something. But nope, she was in the womb, kicking, just moving. She was more active than my son. So I think we defied all of those stereotypes. And, you know, she was just really excited, to where my sister would literally get up sometimes because I would tell her about it. She would get up in literally the middle of the night and watch my belly move. And I mean, I wasn't comfortable to sleep in a bed. I slept on a couch, and I think maybe it was because I couldn't move a lot. I was able to at least keep myself in one position. There was not much tossing and turning. So it was like, you know, kind of like a placeholder, like keeping me and her, and, you know, still. But she would move all the time. She's very active. Yep, she was definitely developing and working with the space that she had. She was all in the ribs, you know. She was trying to maximize her real estate, you know. She wanted to see what was going on in the north hemisphere of my insides. And yeah, she was quite a character.
Did you still have those bowel issues when you were pregnant?
I did still have the bowel issues when I was pregnant. So I think, believe it or not, when I got into that, you know, was basically, they were saying like when your body, you know, experiences stress. So when I first moved to Arizona and got a divorce, it was like all of these traumatic things going on in your life that affect your body. And I hadn't had these issues before. So once that happened, and I started doing, we were doing research forever, and then to get pregnant, and then I'm still traumatized because I'm in a situation where it's not the norm. I'm not familiar with, like I said, having to, you know, go through this process with the father more distant than close. So it was traumatic. And then being in another state where my mother was not here. And although she wouldn't have showed up to the delivery room if you paid her, regardless how close she was, but she at least would have been in the state. And when I would have got, you know, released from the hospital, she would have been close. So like, so there was trauma. And so they said, as a result, the body would have continued with that instead of it, like, you know, just kind of working. And so I was hoping she'd like sit on an intestine or something. And the way she was kicking, I figured she could do me a, you know, a little favor and hit the right area and make me go, you know, but she wasn't that considerate. So.
Was your mom squeamish? Is that why she went?
Yeah. She had 8 kids and would never sit. Yeah. Yeah. So my mother would not go into the delivery room with us because she had 8 children and she felt like the, you know, like, no, I had them. Why do I need to see it? Like, I don't need to be that close to it. And she was very squeamish. She was like, oh my gosh, I don't need to be that close, Aquila. Okay. I'm with you in spirit and on the phone. And then you can call me when it's over. And I'll come when the baby's out, like, you know, completely out, like not in the process of out. And she's been consistent too, because she has not went to not one of her 8 kids at all. And I think most of us now have children, if not all. Yeah, most of us have had children, and she wouldn't come. she wouldn't come at all.
Well, it's good to be consistent.
I appreciate her consistency. I mean, you know, thanks, Mom.
So it would be really bad if she just went to one child's birth.
Yeah.
Just not to go to any.
How did you pick the one, Mom? If you went to one, how did you pick the one?
Yeah. So did your first birth experience, did it at all impact your conceptions of like what the second birth was going to be like? Was it a hospital birth? Did you think, oh, I want to do that again? Or was it, yeah.
My first delivery, first birth, it was so easy and easy peasy, as people say, and I should have that red button. That was easy. Like, it was so easy that I'm like, shoot, I gotta be careful. I might mess around and have a football team, you know, because it was so good. I mean, I gained every bit of those 60 pounds with a smile. You know what I mean? Like, I went into restaurants demanding my food. Like, listen, I'm here pregnant and hungry. Feed me right now. 40-minute wait, no worries. Bring my salad to the door. Like, everything was so easy that I just knew that this is how it was going to be. But I did have my son naturally, in the sense that no medicine or anything like that. So I felt like I can still do that again. And that is, and it definitely made me want to do it again. And I did. So no medicine for her. If anything, let me take that back. So when I say no medicine, like no epidural, no thing to knock the pain off, but they did have to induce me with my daughter twice because her little self decided she liked the womb so good that she wasn't coming out. And, I mean, everything was pointing to go. Like she was, like the contractions were very consistent, 3 within 5 minutes. Like they were just, we were ready. I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, we're about to have the baby. And we get to the hospital. Everything's good. I'm not dilating as quickly as they would have expected. And so I'm literally at 1 and hungry. You know what I mean? So and can't eat, girl. I'm like, well, you know what? Since I can't eat, you know, let's just, and I'm not dilating, let me just go eat somewhere. And if they're not like, no, that's not going to happen. So they did have to induce me. That slowed things down. And she was chilling for real. Now I'm not like the contractions are slowing down and I'm in there like still trying to order Red Lobster, you know, against their wishes. So, yeah, but yes, my son's birth definitely had a, you know, it played a part in the way I was, you know, in my expectation of what was going to happen with my daughter. And the experience was different. My son, like I said, easy peasy, born in 29 minutes. 2 pushes, like, you know, he was super simple. I mean, just ready to be here. I told him he had family in town to see him and he needed to be out and he complied. You know what I mean? My daughter is like, you know, creative and individual and slightly a rebel, and she tried to stay in.
So, okay, let's go back to the beginning of the daughter's birth. So you were at home and then you...
I was at work. So at the beginning of my labor, I was at work. And I was on the phone with one of my good friends / coworkers, and I'm having a conversation. Hey, girl, you still here? Yeah. When are you going to be leaving to go, you know, to have the baby or something? Like, you know, when's your break? And I'm like, girl, I'm working up to the day because knowing my kiddo, she's going to be in here hanging out and I'm going to be at home twiddling my thumbs. So I don't want to do that. So I'm just going to be chill. Hold on a minute. I'm having a contraction. Okay, girl. So anyway, yeah. And then, oh, hold on. I'm having another contraction. Okay, so as I was saying, hold on. Okay, Aquila, do you realize that you just had 3 contractions within like 5 minutes? I'm like, oh, but because I have them so often, is that a big deal? Yes, Aquila, that's a big deal. Oh, it's time? It's time. You need to call somebody and they need to come get you. You cannot drive. Because I'm like, okay, well, let me go get my keys. I'm going to drive. No, you cannot drive. You just, that's not recommended. And I was so disconnected from what, you know, to look for to get ready to deliver, because I'd had contractions every day. So my body is like numb to that, not really, but kind of numb to that, you know. So I was at work. I called what I call my Arizona mom, and I said, hey, so just time the contractions. We're at a good, you know, they're whatever the time's supposed to be, they're there. And more often, in fact, because I was telling her, you know, my friend timed them and she said, this is where we are. Okay, I'm on my way. I'm coming to get you. We're going to leave your car at work. And I'm like, okay. So I go, I leave my car at work and I left the keys, I think at home. No, the garage door opener. I had this really interesting house I lived in where I called it a garage-ish carport because it was a carport with a door. So we left the garage door opener in the car, which was at the office, and we were trying to get into the house, and I somehow left the keys or something. All of that to say, she jumped the fence at, you know, 50 years old to get in the house and get my bag that was not in my car for me to get ready to go to the hospital. So instead of us going back to the office, which was literally 5 minutes away from my house, we're like trying to pull acrobatic moves. I'm like, I'll jump the fence. She's like, are you crazy? I'm like, oh, I forgot just that quick that I'm pregnant and in labor. So because all I can think is I need my stuff. Do not let me go to the hospital without clean underwear. Like, please, I need my socks. Like, I need my cute pajamas. The things they have is horrible. It's going to be blue. And, you know, so I'm so serious because I felt so diva-ish as a pregnant woman that I'm like, dude, no, don't let me be flawed, you know. and delivery. Get my makeup bag. Like, you know. So anyway, she's all like, oh my gosh, this girl's crazy. Let me go in here and figure out how we can do this. And mind you, no keys, no anything, you know, but the back door was unlocked because I had a garage's carport. So she's like, well, let me jump the fence. Needless to say, her knee has never been the same. Thanks, Nana. And so we get to the hospital, and that's lo and behold how all of that took place. Definitely interesting and fun.
That's wild. Does her knee actually, is it?
Thanks, Nana.
That's really funny. Okay, so you get to the hospital, and then you're like thinking, I'm in labor, and then they induce you.
Before they induced me, they were like, they gave me some hours, but yes, they did induce me. They were like, yes, we're going to give you a little bit more time to see if this kind of, you know, goes back to building, you know, on its own, going back to, you know, the contractions and things and doing the things to like make my, maybe you're tense, you know, like the whole story. Cause I'm all telling. So, cause my Nana's telling the story, cause I'm a goofball. So the way I'm dealing with pain is making jokes. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm telling them what happened. So Nana, what? She just jumped the fence. Yes. How many of you have a Nana that'll jump the fence for you? So I'm like being very silly in this moment. But yes, so I'm induced. And then 17 hours later, you know, we have no progress. And I'm still hungry, by the way. Have not been able to eat anything from 11 o'clock. Is there laws to protect pregnant women against starvation? No. So anyhow, I'm like, you know, in here for 17 hours, starving, drinking, you know, maybe I think they gave me like apple juice was like the best they could do. And she's still not, you know, things are not picking up. My doctor was like, no thanks to him. Send her home. I'm like, don't send me home. And don't send me home. Like I was in, you know, enough pain to not be, you know, to not want to be sent home, but not in enough progress for him to actually say, you know, yes, keep her. Let's induce her. So I had an amazing nurse. I wish I knew her name because I would shout her out right now. She was like, girl, I'm not sending you home. There's no way, you know, with everything going the way it's going, I would be foolish to send you home. Honestly, I don't want to torture you like that. And I'm like, I love you. There's angels out there. So yes. So then 17 hours later, they induce me again. And when they induce me this other time, the water still had not broken on its own or anything like that. And my first time when I had my son, they broke the water for me because I was moving progress, but no water breaking. That was weird. But anyhow, so this one now, you know, they induce me. I'm finally getting everything and I'm laying down. I finally get to sleep. But, you know, after, you know, being there for so long, I finally can make myself through the discomfort to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, I was so excited about it, though. I felt my water break on its own without it having to be done. I was so excited, and I'm still obviously excited about it happening naturally because I wanted to feel that. And right immediately after the water broke, contractions hit like hell. And that is the real word, hell. Like, it was crazy. Like, they just... Boom! Like, and I'm squeezing anything in sight, and you know, and I'm not a person to like make a bunch of noises or grunts or whatever, but I was like trying to grab hold of something to just like, you know, to kind of like grip and whatever the case may be. So I told her dad, he's there, of course, and I told her dad, I'm like, oh my God, you got to go get the nurse. The water just broke. I'm in a lot of pain, and I feel like the baby is coming. And he's like, are you sure? And of course, the guy who has never had a baby would say, are you sure? So I'm like, of course I'm sure. Go get the nurse. The baby's coming. No, 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 the baby's coming. The baby's coming. The baby's coming. And he was like, you know, I could, and it's like 2 a.m. My Arizona mom had just left. Like, listen, this girl is stubborn. She ain't coming. Let me go home and take a shower. And she says, and she talks to Jasmine in my belly, you better not come before I get back here. Sure enough. You know, she's probably, you know, barely just getting home. And I'm like, call Nana. So the call goes out. The doctor's not present. No doctor's around. The nurses are like, can you hold it? And I'm like, no. And I'm trying, though, because clearly this kid is about to break free free at last, free at last. Like, the baby is finally ready to come. I've been waiting on this moment forever and a day, and bam, they're telling me to hold in. I'm locking my legs, it's closed. I'm like, she's gonna have a cone head, hurry up. And then sure enough, you know, the nurses, I was like, oh, look, she's coming. I don't care who's delivering, somebody better catch her. And I sure enough opened my legs. And once I did that, her head was like out. Like, it was no more crowning. It was out. The nurse was like, ah, oh my gosh, the doctor's not here yet. And so, you know, my daughter's dad's like, listen, you better grab her. Don't let my baby fall on the floor. And I'm like, yeah, that better not happen. But I mean, one push, one push in like 2 seconds. Like, it was literally like one push. 2 seconds, like, she was out from that. That seemed like an eternity, but that literally from the water breaking to her coming out was probably less than 10 minutes. Like, it was so quick. Nobody was ready. You know, they couldn't get gloves on good. Like, it was really, but I was grateful because I think after, you know, at least 17 hours, like I said, from the time I think being checked in or something, I don't remember, but it was like 17. I remember saying 17 hours, maybe that was between the inducing, that this chick was like held up in the, she's just chilling. Like, nope, I'll have tea, please. Can we have anything else to drink? You know, like, she's like enjoying this. So I was excited. She comes out. I see this kid who looks Asian, and I needed them to confirm that that baby came out of me, because I was like, I didn't see it. My legs were up. I had a skewed vision. I can't prove that that's the baby y'all pulled out. She literally looked like a very Asian kid, and no eyeballs were open. So I'm like, okay. And I had asked her dad, I'm like, are you sure? Like, he like, yeah, girl, you crazy. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, she's extremely light. You're dark. You know, and I know, of course, with all the shows that go on today, men are like, I need a paternity test because that baby don't look like me. But I was like, I need a maternity test because she don't look like me. Like, who's checking that, you know? And because my legs are up in front of my vision, there's no way to tell. And so this is literally what I'm saying while I just had gave birth to my child. But I was like, are y'all sure? So put her in my arm. She's the most beautiful Asian baby I've ever seen. Like, she's just gorgeous. And I'm like, dude, these Asian kids are cute. And to prove my point, I'm like walking, like, I think in a mall or somewhere, and an Asian person asks me, was she Asian? And their kid looked like my kid. So people are always like, you're so funny. You're being, you know, it ain't even a stereotype. This kid looked Asian. And when I show pictures to this day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, it still holds true today. This chick looked like an Asian when she came out, but she was gorgeous. She also had she had her fist balled up. Like, she was aggressive. Like, she was mad that we just took her out of her space and just totally messed up something for her day, or I don't know, her night, being that she was born at like 2 a.m. You know, it was, you know, I don't know. Maybe we kind of pissed her off or something, because she was like, her mouth was like, you know, like you purse your lips, and she's all like, you know, gritting her gums because she had no teeth yet, obviously. But she's just really upset about this thing. And so I don't know. I just told her, I said, listen, you know, we've been waiting to meet you for a while here. And I just cried because honestly, even now as I think about it, for everything that I thought initially, I felt like I didn't deserve such a healthy baby who had no problems, no issues. She was absolutely beautiful. And that was still a gift and a miracle to a person who had, to me, if I conceived the thought that I wouldn't have wanted my gift, I would have every bit of earned or deserved, you know, a kid that would have required me to appreciate her in a different sense of maybe having to, if there was any type of disease or deformity, I would have felt like it would have been God's way of saying, you're going to really appreciate the fact that she's simply here by having to maybe, you know, protect and preserve her life or be more hands-on. But she came into this world with every limb that she, that, you know, that, that is due to us, and immobility of those limbs, a strong heartbeat, a working heart, a healthy heart, all of her, you know, organs, and, you know, her right mind, you know, just sassy and spicy. And, you know, she just adds flavor to this life. And I didn't deserve that, you know? So in that moment, I was just so blessed to to have her, just to have her in all of her little glory and just be healthy. And she was honest. She was just like the most amazing gift, I think, you know, especially with just that mind. I was just like, man, I'm just so grateful. You know, no matter how long she would have lived, you know, I literally know people who their baby passed away shortly after birth. I was just blessed to see her delivered and here and healthy, even if just for a moment. Even if just for a moment, I was just so extremely grateful. And then, you know, from there, we were just, you know, both trying to just get acquainted, I think, at that point, you know, and I decided I wanted to nurse her and you know, hopefully see that went well. And it didn't start off too good, you know, the whole nursing thing. She seemed very independent in the womb, and she was very independent outside. She, you know, I think if she could have held her bottle at a day old or a minute old, she would have. She was very much, you know, I think, you know, just meant to just kind of figure out things on her own. And I'm proud to have, you know, to have her, to be honest, like, you know, just in that way. Sometimes we want them to be a little bit, I did want her to be a little clingy at times, you know, a little bit more, codependent, if you will. But I'm extremely grateful to have this kid who's willing to try stuff, and she's fearless, you know.
That's great. It really is great. Okay, I have a couple questions. One is, when you were talking about being induced, do you know what they gave you, or what did they
Pitocin?
Like, was, did they induce you through the IV?
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious about that, because sometimes they do those, you know, some sort of balloons, you know, or they'll put something in the cervix that does that. But yeah, I was curious if that was.
Do I need to say that on the
record? No, I think it's fine. And then the other thing is, so what was home life like? So what was the relationship? Were you guys totally kaput, or did he want to be involved in this early stage of motherhood, you know, with the new baby and all that?
So her dad wanted to definitely be around. He has other children. He's also an older man. So, aside from, you know, our discombobulated story, he's one of two kids, and his other sibling is the oldest sibling, but he's unable to have kids. So despite the dysfunction, he always has had a desire, per his, you know, telling me, to have a lot of children, because his mother would not have been able to have grandkids otherwise. So though, you know, he has had several relationships in which he has had kids with, he has absolutely no regrets. He loves every one of his kids. And I do believe that, you know, the way we, you know, kind of express that love, one could say he does or does not, or should I say could challenge that. But I really believe in my heart that he loves every one of his kids, and he wanted to be there as much as possible. And he doesn't have, but... I think he has, don't judge me while I'm saying I think, but I do believe he has six children, and so he has two girls, and Jazzy was the second girl, and his other daughter is older, so she's like 20-something years older than Jazzy. And so anyway, you know, he was extremely excited to have another girl, and so excited that he was like, so all my boys have the middle name Lee, and I just thought it would be awesome to, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? To put Lee as my daughter's middle name? Yeah, not gonna happen, sir. So we agreed on Leanne, okay? I can take a Leanne. That's a, you know, the female version of Lee. I can do that, you know? So we did go with, he named her completely though, Jasmine Leanne. Like I said, our compromise was Leanne, but he did name her. He was extremely, you know, I don't even know why he decided to do it. Like, most of his kids have J names. I don't know what that means, but he, you know, or what that means to him, but he was very excited to do that. He would come over, and she just took to him. Like, she, of course, just knows, like, she owns him and everybody else in the world. And, you know, she wasn't afraid to show it. people called her Aretha because she did scream a lot. she would, man, oh man, that chick would. Listen, she would R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Like, she was smooth making sure people knew that she had a request of some sort. Whether it's change my diaper, whatever it was, this chick wanted you to know. So anyway, she was very good at vocalizing that through her nice, boisterous song of screaming. And but for some reason, you know, he'd grab her as soon as she'd scream and she'd calm down. With me, it would take us some time, some bouncing, some shaking, some creative rocking, singing a song, playing music, you know, I don't know, jumping on a trampoline. I mean, it just felt like she put me through a lot to get her to calm down in the same way that her father would just so easily pick her up. And she's like, ah, you know. But I would later learn that it would be, you know, it would just be a matter of time for us to really, you know, for her to know. I'm not going to lie. I really believe that some of her resistance was a result of the resistance that I had when I found out I wanted, that I didn't, when I found out I was pregnant. So the resistance that she gave me, I really sat one day and was like, oh, I think I'm getting back what I gave. And so what I did was I apologized to her. Literally out loud, though she would not understand, she could probably not even remember it, but I wanted to put it inside of her soul that I had no regrets in having her, that I loved her, that she is mommy's gift, that, you know, that is a part of our story, not to tear us down, but to really bind us closer together. And our home life was really, it was really good. We were both, I'm a night owl too. I just didn't expect her to be one, I guess. I don't know how hypocritical maybe, but she, you know, we bonded at night. We would sit and watch Law and Order, or I would just watch Law and Order and she would just lay. But our home life was good, and her dad would come over and, you know, he can count on me sitting at home, watching Law and Order, you know, until I would have to go back to work, unfortunately. And, but he absolutely adored her. You know, like I said, she looked Asian for quite some time. And, I realized later that it was his eyes that, you know, he has a slight slant that you probably see when he smiles, but his mother also had slanted eyes too. And I'm like, that's where she got it from. I knew I wasn't crazy, but he just absolutely loved looking at her. And I did too. She was a pretty happy baby. She was, but like I said, she just had no trouble telling us when she had a request.
So did she get her pigment at some point?
She got a little pigment. And I mean, she really started getting a little bit more pigment as she's gotten older, like older, like 7, 6 years old older, because people still would meet her and say, oh, is she mixed, or is her dad, you know, from another country? Because her eyes are green. So she's absolutely, I ain't gonna lie, she's gorgeous, you know. If she, you know, just trying to figure out like what to do with all that beauty. I'm like, girl, she needed to model. She needed to do something. I don't know. But I'm right now, I'm just trying to cultivate, you know, character things within her so that we don't lose sight of that. Because it's hard for kids to juggle, you know, that type of life. And you still want them to be respectful kids. And you've got people catering to them and giving them what they want and what they need to get a job done. Like, hey, I'm going to give you all the candy and cookies because I need you to stand still, you know, maybe to model. And in, at home life, it don't work like that. So right now, I just really wanted to, you know, like I said, spend more time and develop our relationship too. Unfortunately, you know, the mother-daughter relationship has a stigma that, you know, they're not always close. And I want to, I'm killing that. Like, I'm killing that stigma. I'm murdering it and pinning it on the wall so people can see like a bullhorn, you know, like a bullhorn or of some sort, because I'm intentional about our relationship. We don't always agree. She's 7. Okay. But wanting her to understand, I'm constantly, you know, speaking into her soul and her spirit. We're on the same team. Are we on the same team? We're on the same team. And I've been telling her that since she was a baby, even when I felt like she didn't like me with her being, you know, like I said, not as cooperative with me as her dad. I would be like, okay, she may not like me today, but we're on the same team. You know, we're still on the same team. So, yeah.
They say too that babies have a sense of what they can get from you, and they just take until they get that. So like sometimes, like Eric wasn't going to do all the things that I did to appease my son's, you know, moods. You know, it's like, I feel like August knew that. So his expectations for Eric were just lower. Like Eric would pick him up and he'd calm down. You know what I mean? Exactly. But his expectations for me were like astronomical.
Exactly.
I want to dance. I want in the moonlight. Like, he really wanted like certain things.
Exactly.
You know? I was like, are you kidding me?
Exactly. That's awesome.
You know, it's funny. So it might be a compliment.
Okay.
I'm going to see some pictures though.
I will definitely show him.
So is there anything else that you want to mention that you haven't mentioned?
Oh, yes. So, I think the best thing about my story actually took place maybe a day or two ago. And I did a good job of composing myself because it would have been the most emotional flipping thing I've ever may have ever encountered. My daughter said to me, out of nowhere, you know, she always says, "You're the best mom. I love you. You're the best mom to me." But you know what she said? "I'm so thankful, Mom, that you let me live. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful that you had me." And those were all her statements. Out of nowhere, just a day or two ago. And I'm so grateful because I do believe that you reap what you sow. And I kept telling her, "This is a part of our story, but it's not for me to tear you down and you to feel like you weren't wanted. It was out of a space that had something to do with me, not you. And I have no regrets and I love you."
That was great. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really eloquent for a 7-year-old.
I swear. I'm so serious. Like, I'm like, she still doesn't, like, she don't even know. We haven't even talked about that as a conversation. And she said that out of the blue just a day or two ago. I couldn't remember if it was yesterday or the day before.
So you never have told her. Say that on the record.
So I've never told her, you know, the story of me thinking and, you know, just, you know, having this idea of wanting to abort her. I never told her that story at all. So for her to say that was, oh my God, like, it just filled my heart with a love and a joy all over again, you know, just to be, you know, just for being able to, again, like I said in that card, making a decision we both can live with.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so something else that we tend to ask people is, if you can think about one word or like a phrasing of words. We get so many solicitations, it'll just keep ringing. That summarizes your experience, you know? Because, you know, you've seen that we've picked some themes, but we're always having new things, themes develop. And so if you can think of anything.
A word, one word.
A word or a phrase, you know.
Mm-hmm. Choose life.
Yeah, that's good. I was actually thinking, like, gratitude. Like, there's something about...
That could be it, too.
Like, thankfulness.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably a good word.
Interesting.
I'm big on that, so that works, too. Gratitude. There's definitely lots of that.
Yeah, because you seem to... it's like thankfulness on both of your parts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that would be I think that's a good word.
But life is a good word too. Yeah, I'm thinking about what that means.
But gratitude, I think, is good because that's actually one of the things that I like that better. I really do. I do. I like it better. I think it's we miss the opportunities to have gratitude when we could, and so I'm always promoting gratitude. I'm always like, "Do you understand what a gratitude is? It's a great attitude about everything that we experience." So I think gratitude is really a good word.
It's so funny that you have I've thought about that word that much. I've never thought about that. That's great. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Yay!
Yeah. Anything else?
I think we're good.
Okay, we're going to hit the button.